You know, there's a lot going on in the world today, and there's a lot of depression. If you've been looking at the media or listening to the news, we know that there's a lot of people who have felt isolated because of the pandemic that we've gone through. And that's why this passage came to my mind, and it's from James chapter 4. It's the whole chapter, verses 1 to 17. There's only 17 verses in it. It's entitled, Submit Yourself to God. What causes fights and quarrels amongst you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire to do, but do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he is jealous, longs for a spirit he has given, cause to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even think? Who knows what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your ignorant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Quite a strong passage, a hard passage to get your head around. And it's well worth rereading when you get home, I think, because I've reread it many times and you still stumble over the bits of it. But let's pray before we go into the morning's message. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have calmed me down and my voice is holding. And Lord, I just ask you that you continue to keep your hand upon me and that the only words that come out of my mouth are what you want to hear. Anything that's not of you, Lord, blow it away like chaff in the wind. And Lord, just help us to learn from your word and to grow through it, to become the people that you would have us be, Lord. And we ask it all in and through the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Total Submission. In the passage we've just read, James, the half-brother of Jesus, is given instructions of the need to submit to God if we are to live and enjoy a peaceful and blessed life. In the world today, the word submit is considered to be sissy, weak. Nobody likes it. You know, nobody wants to submit. Everybody wants their own way. You know, but as Christians, unless we fully submit to the will of God, I ask, what use can we be to anybody but ourselves? And we're not supposed to be selfish. We're supposed to be outgoing and to love others. There are many things which need to submit and to be broken before they can be enjoyed. Eggs. If you don't break an egg, you can't enjoy it, can you? And even the chicken can't enjoy an egg until it hatches it and it breaks and it sees its offspring. There are many things. Horses need to be broken and trained so they can be of any use to us humans for their riding or pulling vehicles, wagons. In the old days, you know, to cross the states, the Wild West. We need to submit if we're going to be any good and if we're going to be successful in following the Great Commission, which Jesus has given to every believer. As we can read in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, which reads, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age.'" You know, that's a lovely promise. And we need to hold on to that promise. We are not expected to do things on our own. If you walk with the Lord, He is there by your side. He will hold your hand and help you through all problems. James again warns us about the danger of fighting and quarreling within churches, especially if it's about our own preferences, our own wants, our own desires, when we should only be interested in one thing, and that is, what is God's will? What is God's desires? He wants us, and He warns us, that we need to remember about the danger that we can all fall into by pointing the finger and blaming others. As we've just read in chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you are not to judge your neighbor." There is only one who is able to save and destroy, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be aware of the devil's scheme and not to let him steal our joy and our peace. We need to remember that although we live in this world, we are not of the world. John 1, chapter 4, verses 4 to 6 tells us, "You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." That's why God sent His Holy Spirit to all who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We need a helper. We need a prompt. It's actually Jesus holding our hand as we go through life, the Holy Spirit within us. He knows when things are right. He knows when we need to be turned around, but we need to be responsive to the directions that the Holy Spirit gives us. And the only way that we can do that is to remain close to Him and read and study His Word daily. It's not a once a week sort of way, how we say, coming together to just come around His Word. It should be a daily thing. First thing in the morning, personally, I read my word for the day is the first thing, and then we do our studying. We read the Bible in a year. We do our study first thing in the morning. That's the first thing we do in the morning before we get dressed and go out and walking and all the rest of the good things. But it is, some people think, well, that's a bit of a challenge. But it's not, it's a pleasure. And the more you get into it, the more you do it, the more you get out of it. It's like exercise. The more you do it, like the boys running the marathon, they'll feel sore tomorrow. But after it, you know, when they've completed, they'll feel the achievement of having done it. And they'll get benefits from it, healthy, because they want to do maybe again and again. There's people that can be quite addictive. You know, but today, believe it or not, is World Mental Health Day. This World Mental Health Day. And I'm sure you're aware that, as I've already said, there's been a lot of coverage on and in the media of people who have been suffering from mental health and having to wait months in some cases to see a counsellor. The sad thing is, if those people would only realise that they could consult a counsellor without leaving the house. As we can read from Isaiah, who informs us in chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I ask, could anyone find a better counselor who is able and available 24/7 to meet all their needs? With him, they could enjoy his peace, his perfect peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Scripture warns us in James 3, 5 and 6 about our tongue. It reads, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." So it is clear that the tongue is the devil's favorite tool. And if we let him control our tongue, he can cause a lot of pain and havoc in our lives, in all aspects of our lives, and rob us of our joy and our peace. And most importantly, possibly even our relationship with the Lord himself. In Proverbs 10, verses 18 to 19, we read, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues." There are times when it's so easy to put in your sixpenny with, but it's harder to just have the wisdom to just remain quiet and give it to the Lord. So I think it's essential that we learn to control our tongue. We need to think before we speak, for once you've said it, it's out there. And it can be so hard to take it back. The damage may already have been done. And it's happened in so many churches where people have been hurt by a quick response to something in a improper way. But it's the devil's work, and we need to be aware of it. Proverbs 12:18 tells us, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise bring healing." And that's what we should strive to be. Words of the wise. And where does the wise wisdom come from? Only one place, from the Lord. So consult him before you speak. As children of God, isn't that the second part of verse 18, what we should be striving to achieve. I believe that it's what the Great Commission is all about, bringing healing to the soul of people. There are times, I'm sure, when we all feel under pressure of one source or another and lose sight of which route to choose. And when we forgo our pride, we must forgo our pride and realize that we don't always know what's best. We cannot rely on our own strength. We need to humble ourselves, remembering what James said in verse 6 of the passage we've read. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Now, isn't it worth being humbled just to enjoy God's favor? Verse 7 and 8 goes on to say, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's when you can enjoy God's favor, when he's with you. It's hard to enjoy anybody's favor when they're away from you, isn't it? You can think about them, and you can even talk on the phone, but it's not the same as having them there beside you where you can take hold of their hand and actually physically touch them. But I want to look at, what does James mean here with you double-minded? James explains it in 1 James 5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. It's no use just paying lip service. It has to come from the heart. You must believe that the Lord loves you and is willing and able to meet all your needs, as his word tells us. James also warns us about making assumptions about the future and what it might bring, and reminds us that everything is dependent on one thing, the will of God. James also warns us not to boast about tomorrow, as we've already read in verses 13 to 16. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry out business, make money. Why? Do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that will appear for a little while and then vanish. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. It's most important that you do what you know is right. Because if you continually do what you know isn't right, okay, you'll be down on your knees forever and a day, repenting. God will forgive you. He tells you, you know, if you go to him and repent. But you've got to, it's no good. It's like a kitty going and doing something and saying, sorry, Dad, I didn't mean to scratch your car. And then goes back out and scratches the other side. The sorry is worthless unless it is meant. Now, one of my favorites, and I'm sure you've heard me read it so many times before, is from Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Notice it says, with all your heart. Half-heartedness will not cut the mustard. It won't fit the bill. This is made quite clear, as we can read in Exodus 20, verses 3 to 5. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. God demands a wholehearted commitment from his children. And he is, as I've already said, he's always available to us 24/7. He is never too busy to take your call and to act and respond to it. He is always available, as we can read in Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. What a promise. Sometimes we don't even consider it. The first thing we do is we think of the ways of the world. What's the best thing? Oh, I'll go and take a tablet. Or I'll go and ask somebody else for advice. Instead of taking it to the Lord, take it to him. He knows everything. And he is willing. And he is there, as he's already said, to take you by the right hand. And he says, do not fear. I will help you. When we consider how much God loves and cares for us, doesn't he deserve our full and undivided attention, our total submission to his will? Remember, he gave his one and only Son as a sacrifice for our sin, to make it possible for us to enjoy a relationship with him because of that sacrifice on the cross. And as provided we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can have all of those promises. It amazes me that he loves me so much. And I'm sure it's not just me that it amazes. I'm sure we all feel like that. It amazes me that he wants to spend eternity with us. He has given us so many promises in his word. And my favorite is the first bit of what we read previously from Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. Now, I don't know about you, but that tells me just how much God loves me. And that we need to remember that all of God's promises are yes and amen. And if you want to experience and enjoy all of his blessings, all of the blessings that he wants to bestow upon us, I would recommend that you totally submit to his will. He wants an intimate relationship with each one of us. I don't know why he wants an intimate relationship with me, but I'm so glad that he does, because I don't know where I'd be without him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask that you help us when you take us by the right hand and enable us to submit to your will in all things. And Lord, I just want to thank you for taking away my coughs and what have you, and allowing me to deliver your word without interference from anyone. And the devil didn't get in to use my tongue or my throat to upset it. because you are such a wonderful, loving Father. And Lord, I just pray as you'll bless us and keep your hand upon us as we go out into the world, and help us to remember that we are in the world, but that we belong to you, and that all that we do needs to be done with submission, total submission to your way and your leading. And we ask it in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.